world. You're listening to The Passion Show with Wizard on CFRU 93.3 FM. It is a do-it-together radio show all about passions and the people who
have them. I was like, when is my cue? When do I speak?
My name is Wizard.
And I'm Summer, baby.
What?
Let's go.
Are you a different Summer? You Summer Schlam? Summer
I'll
Dram?
Because
there certainly is no way that...
Back again already?
Back again already? It's only been exactly 10 episodes.
Yeah, exactly 10 episodes. This is the 20th episode.
And your first episode was the 10th episode.
That's what I tell myself.
That's what we tell ourselves. It would be a beautiful symmetry that way.
Yeah, because it just happened to be that way for numerology reasons.
Numerology reasons.
Yeah. Because I understand numerology and such.
10 represents a completion.
It totally does, and that's why we're back, baby. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be funny if I started reading people's tarot cards on The Passion Show?
I would venture to say that would be not funny, but I would enjoy it.
Like funny as in, like, it'd be like a...
Like, wouldn't that be such a fun idea?
A joyful swerve.
It would
like
be a joyful
swerve.
Like,
if I were a Passion Show listener and I got to episode 21 of a show and it's just like, here's a new segment, reading tarot cards for 10 minutes.
I love that idea. I also love that idea for repeat guests, because then you know a little bit more about them, and then I would be more invested in the read.
They're in my car. I should have brought them.
Shit. You hate to. Oh.
No, that one's a lot, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, no way. That's huge for
me.
Huge
at least once around. At least once.
Huge if true, guys. I'm gonna do better.
So it goes.
So it goes. Tarot reading is a great idea.
Thank you.
I love people to be read in many a form. Also, we were saying in the car on the way here that, like, as a repeat guest idea, that, like, that's a fun idea. Have little traditions. It's like an SNL situation.
Uh-huh.
I want to be Alec Baldwin of The Passion Show.
Yeah, always just coming back, beleaguered, dragged back for more.
Yeah, and, like, kind of annoying at a certain point. Like he shows up into the room, if you will. Like, I want to show up in the room and people kind of go, ugh, this guy again?
This guy again.
Ugh, he's kind of...
Summer Graham, again. Summer Graham, part
Gosh,
7.
They're so full of themselves. They have too much to say.
More, we get so it. Mar.
You're a little bit too comfortable in the space. Like, that's what I'm aiming for.
Exactly. And so at some point, you won't even care to be passionate about something anymore. You're just like, I'm passionate about whatever.
Yeah, at what point is passion my net neutral existence?
Yeah. I'm passionate about just talking for an hour about this, that, or the other thing, Wizard.
And the thing is that unfortunately...
has already happened.
Right on the money. Because I am passionate about talking about random things for an hour or so.
That's I think it depends on then the nature and the feeling of the conversation.
Hey, exactly.
And I would hazard a guess that it's gonna be a good conversation.
Me too.
As it always is.
I love
with
to
you.
Yap. I love to talk.
We always have great conversations, although only one of them has been recorded and played live on the radio at Friday
and
9 PM sharp.
I'm in shock at how many people have since that has come out. Give me more.
Oh, it's going to be nice. We can finally address the controversy of your episode on
huge
the radio.
Controversy.
Which is fixed. I fixed it.
Yes,
it's saved.
I noticed that. So, dear listeners, dear blessed listeners.
As you know,
on the previous episode, there was a little bit of a cutout near the beginning.
An important cutout, removing a hilarious anecdote.
It ended on like a great cliffhanger moment. Like, it wasn't like, it didn't
cut we're all like
sentence. It was like right on the money with like a little bit of a teaser, if you will.
It's so fun because it was like, Wizard's gonna tell a funny story now.
And then boom, cut.
And then boom.
Yeah.
Later,
me talking about intertextuality randomly. And people are like, what? Anyways, point being, dear listeners, many of people messaged me and were like, what? Tell me the story. Or what got cut out? I feel like I've been left out.
And teased.
Like, what do you mean you cut out? And then I listened back and went, oh, in fact, it was.
That was such an odd thing because... Like, the file on the server was 58 minutes long. But the file on the web...
Was like 38 or something.
It was 42.
Okay, noted.
And I remember specifically...
It wasn't 20 or 10.
Because I was so frustrated. Because I'm like, the file is correct. And it was moral of the story is I wound up re-editing the episode.
Noted.
I was like...
You went back to that raw file.
I went back to the raw... And I keep all the raw files of The Passion
Genius,
Show.
Which is, as you should.
As I should. They're archived. And one of these days I have to put them... They're taking up a lot of space on my computer. So I'm going to put them on my big hard drive.
Piece. Yeah.
Yeah. And there are now 20 hours of this show.
Wow.
Which really sparks joy for
me. That sparks joy for me, too. I love to listen to people talk. So 20 hours of it.
Yeah, right? I don't know why this isn't the most popular show in the world.
It might be soon the most popular show in Guelph, Ontario.
That's true.
I mean, I don't want to make any assumptions. I love the CFRU shows. But,
but like, yeah, we've got a good network.
Yeah, we're making strides.
I'm happy with my network.
I love your network.
And you know what? I've been thinking about this for a while.
Okay.
I never, ever ask people to, like, hit me up. I have no real way of knowing how many people listen to the show other than Spotify Analytics and Apple Music or Apple Podcast Analytics.
Referential, but we did mention this in the previous episode I was in because I wanted to know what your demo was so that I could tell a little story about 2008.
Ooh. Actually, in the time since then, to be a little intertextual.
Yeah, please be.
I checked my demo. Yeah. It turns out you can see it. And believe it or not, The Passion Show, famously popular with women.
Stop.
Women, yeah, it's 70, it's like 75, 25.
You know what? I think that's awesome. Women love a passion.
Ladies love passion. That's what I'm always saying.
I've always said that. One thing I've always said is that women...
LL Cool P. Ladies love cool passion.
Exactly. Live, love, laugh.
Exactly. So that was really interesting to me. I was happy
with
that.
That's a really good anecdote because I did want to know intel on your demo. And that makes me, knowing that your demographic is mostly women, makes me so happy we talked about Brat.
Yeah, true. I mean, maybe there's like a correlation causation thing. Maybe we manifested that.
Yeah, maybe. I would love to know that.
Maybe at first it started out 50-50.
We need to send out survey monkeys to the CFRU listeners.
Exactly. Well, yeah. I do want to say, this is kind of exciting. If you're listening to this episode, dear listener.
Hello.
And I say if you're listening as though anyone who's hearing these words isn't listening. So I'll rephrase it. Hey, you, listener.
Hi, remember us? You're not zoning out in the car right now.
Something you should do is go on Instagram, if you have it, and go to wizard.collective, which is my account on there.
Do it.
And send me a DM. Tell me something you're passionate about.
Do it.
Do it. And then that way I'll know who is actually listening to this.
I love this grassroots form of gaining stats on your
show. Yeah, exactly.
Do that.
Because there aren't enough, like, it's not like I'm going to get a million. I'm not going to be like, oh no, I have too many DMs. Like, I am at the...
Now we really have to do it, listeners, because we gotta make this man overwhelmed on the social platforms.
If I don't get any DMs, I'm going to be so sad.
Someone DM him.
DM me. Tell me what you're passionate about.
Do it for the show.
Especially if I don't know you. That would be amazing. If no, I don't have a personal... It's like,
we could
do that.
That's so exciting to think about.
This show's small enough where we could just be friends.
Yeah.
You could just go to wizard.collective on Instagram.com and just... Yeah. We could be friends, I swear.
And knowing that someone likes something you made that isn't your friend is huge.
It is huge.
It's huge.
You're going to love the episode coming out tomorrow.
Okay.
Is the first episode I've done of this show where I sort of just like cold hit someone up.
Love that.
Who I didn't really know.
You should do it more often.
Yeah. I should, and I am going to.
Yeah.
I've already actually done that.
Amazing.
There are a couple in the pipeline like that.
Love that. Got to get some women in STEM in the room.
Exactly. I'm getting yet more women in the arts are on the docket. Multiple of them.
Hey.
But
if it's not broken, don't fix it. But also,
women in STEM.
Women in STEM.
So that kind of counts.
That does count.
I love art. There's nothing wrong with the show.
There's a reason that we famously call it the arts and sciences, right, ladies?
Exactly. So one day we'll get a little more women in STEM representation on here.
Unfortunately, we're not starting today, as we've previously established.
And there's a whole lot of women in STEM representation here when it comes to just talking about them.
No, for real, because I bring up women in STEM in every room that I'm in. Hey, I took a theoretical physics course in university.
Hey, that counts.
I don't think it does, actually.
Hey, that doesn't count.
It was giving academia in its rawest written form, but yeah.
Shoo!
Shoo!
All right.
And on that note.
So what are you passionate about, Summer?
Oh my gosh. So many things, Wizard, unfortunately.
Nothing unfortunate about that.
Hey, unless you're Alec Baldwin.
So true.
Okay, so...
Yeah, my last episode was like My past two episodes have been like laser focused.
Really? Okay, so that's really good to know because yeah.
So we've got that covered this
that's
month.
That's so amazing because as I mentioned in the car ride over here, dear listeners, Wizard picked me up.
It's true. Speed yeah, soldier. Got you, G. Hop in the Wizzy
I mentioned
wagon.
That I had like an unconventional idea, but I guess it's not that unconventional.
That's
it's
right.
Just, like,
a potentially controversial.
Potentially controversial, but it's just because it's the two things that are on my brain right now, and like I can't help but combine the two. Right. And that is pour one out to my dear friend David Lynch.
Rest his soul.
God rest his soul.
May God rest his weary soul.
He was somewhere in the White Lodge thriving.
Exactly. He was a spry young 78.
Yes. Spry young 78 who, I will admit, like, so for context, I'm like literally obsessed with David Lynch. Uh-huh. He has done so much for me. And I mean that like very sincerely, but also
I used to call
I'm
him
laughing.
America's greatest living artist.
No, yes.
But now
the
he's
only
America's
good,
greatest
I would venture to
artist.
Say the only like American like I think David
American
Lynch,
like capital A American
capital
like,
A
like
American
Americana like
yes
art
like I would venture to say he's one
American.
Of the only people who like fully like maybe not only people one of the only Americans who could really see America like outside of itself.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, I
gooey what's that 11:30 all right
everybody.
I'm locking that in my brain.
I said a no we're back.
That's okay. I downloaded a beep sound effect.
Oh, that's so awesome. Because
I think it's hilarious.
Wait, that makes it so much better. Okay, anyways, David Lynch. I love David Lynch. He's been on my brain, if you will, because as we know, he passed away last week. But then the other thing that's been on me brain recently is the Housewife franchise that is by Andy Cohen and Bravo.
Okay.
And
you mentioned that on your Instagram story.
Yeah, one thing about me is if you're a close friend of mine and you follow me on Instagram, like as we've established, I like to talk about things.
Truly.
And therefore I use that.
That's why we're a natural duo on this
exactly.
program.
Exactly. I love to yap about many a thing. But yeah, I've been like deep in both of these things and I can't help but think about both of them in the same uh-huh. breath. Have you ever...
I'm excited to see the intersection of one thing I know a lot
so
about, one thing I know nothing
yeah,
about.
Yeah, because, like, the thing is, it's, like, I don't even know if they're actually, like, intersecting as much as I want them to be, but it's just, like, the two things I'm hyper-focused on right now, so therefore they uh-huh. will intersect.
You can create an intersection in any two things.
And I have, and I do. Yeah. Have you... So I'm just going to assume that what you're saying is you know lots about David Lynch,
imagine
but not
if it
a
were
lot
the other
about
way.
The Housewives.
I know everything about... Who's David Lynch? I only know that he is a great
that,
Americana
yeah.
artist and
hey,
nothing else.
Hey, that's like a broad title. Maybe you know a lot about like...
Yeah, I suppose that's true. I guess I didn't say anything like particularly yeah. deep or unheard of about Lynch. Yeah.
And
but
I,
we were right the first time around.
We were right the first time. I assumed correctly.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. What?
You know what they say about assuming?
Hey, I do.
In a lot of contexts, it's fine and normal. That's what I say about assuming.
What I say about assuming is that, you know what? I'm usually right.
Yeah.
Hey, actually, I know how to make an assumption, and it's usually educated.
Exactly.
No, I'm kidding. Sometimes I'm totally wrong, guys. Yeah. David Lynch, God love him. I know that obviously you're a fan. What's your favorite, like maybe like favorite one or two of his
I've loved Mulholland Drive since I was
yeah.
young.
I mean that's like
got
the
infamous
David
Blu-ray
Lynch. I
would, with the clues.
Who was it? One publication or the other recently, like before his passing, said that was like the best movie of all time from Hollywood recently on the list.
Maybe it was the Sight and Sound thing.
I don't know. I for some reason my like heart says Rolling Stone Mag, but like that's just because they make many a list of
yeah.
media objects. Probably
it's usually up there.
Yeah, but Mulholland Drive's like people uh-huh. have things to say about that.
It's
nice.
True.
What any other things that like really spark joy for you from David Lynch that are.
Let me think. I'm trying to see if I have like a interesting answer.
Hey,
but you know,
I think when you think about it too much, it's not as interesting. That's my take. But
mm-hmm.
are you
Fire Walk With Me?
I was gonna say Twin Peaks. Like you've got to be a Twin Peaks.
It's Fire Walk With Me.
Yeah, totally. Best prequel of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not. I think that's a pretty normal place to be.
Yeah.
As a Lynch enjoyer.
Totally.
But I'm fine with that.
No, that's.
I don't need to be crazy or anything.
Yeah, no, that makes me seem so much more insufferable because, like,
Hey, there's nothing insufferable about being specific.
Well,
to me, and not in the passion show world.
I know the people in their cars are probably like, what is she like? What? Okay, so for reference, unironically, and this is on my Letterboxd top four, so no one's allowed to say that this isn't real because it is.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm also a huge fan of the Dune movie.
Oh my gosh, I just got that on VHS.
Oh my, on VHS.
I'm trying to expand my physical media collections. I have lots of CDs and records, but I want like more physical, like video games and like love movies that. And such. So yeah, just pick that bad boy up on VHS. Love Dune. Uh-huh. I don't like the new Dunes. Sorry, I'm a hater. Well, okay.
That's okay. That's
I think the... it's not that I don't like them. I think at a certain point... it's like, we get it. Like, uh-huh. The pacing for me, I'm like, you have to make this enjoyable for people who haven't read Dune or who haven't... Like, uh-huh. Like at what point are we gonna...
Gotcha.
Are we going to mirage this a little bit too hard, if you will?
Uh-huh. And I guess I can only watch movies as me. And I am...
Huge if true.
Dune.
Yeah.
Dune, the book Dune enjoyer. So from that angle...
Yes. And
I'm like, oh, look, it's like, the book I love on the screen.
And I can't bring myself to like it as much because I have seen David Lynch's Dune.
Uh-huh.
And like, I would venture to say that it is like so good. And the fact that he hated it makes me love it even more because he loved everything else he made. Uh-huh. So thinking about the one thing that this man made that he didn't like for many a reason, and there's many a controversy behind that film because like the producers or whatever got way too involved and he didn't get the final cut. And that's like famously his take on it. But
he got Kyle MacLachlan out of it. He got a lot of his like mainstays out of it.
It's so camp. Like I would venture to say that like a lot of his, I feel like Dune changed everything for him. It gave him a lot of money. Like it pulled off. Yeah. Dear listeners who are not aware of what Dune is, I would venture to say that Dune is David Lynch's Twilight in the way that Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson did Twilight.
Both got to springboard into bizarre
careers. And then they got so much
careers.
Cash money dollar bills, and they went off and just did projects that they
and
actually wanted to
they're
do.
They're two of our finest living performers.
They are two of the best actors in the indie scene now because they said Twilight.
Yeah, now I can just do what I want and have a big house and be able to buy groceries
to David
until
Lynch.
I'm dead.
Yeah. And ironically, it wasn't that at all because it was a financial disaster at the time, but it has since made back money from its cult-like status. So.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I think that Dune is underrated. My favorite, as I was saying on my Letterboxd top four, my favorite David Lynch movie, if you can call it that because it's a short, is his Quinoa short. Have you seen that? So famously, the movie Inland Empire by David Lynch, which is starring Laura
Classic
Dern
flick.
And shot on
great
a
flick,
digital.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the most interesting looking movies still.
That, I would say, is like one of...
Cutting edge.
Yes. That, I think, has influenced everything I've ever done more than any of his other like art, if I'm being so for real. But my favorite one is the DVD extra on Inland Empire, which is a 20-minute short called... Oh, I'm probably going to mess up the order of the words, but it's like cooking quinoa with David Lynch or something like that. And it's literally this man going through, like, vlog style.
I love his
YouTube,
vlogs.
Black
I'm
and white.
I'm a big, huge
but
fan
this
of
was,
his, like, weather
before
stuff.
His, like, YouTube channel.
Uh-huh.
This was, like, I would say the inciting incident of David Lynch Theater
That's
YouTube channel.
Fascinating. I did not know this existed.
Yeah, it is also on that channel now, but it was originally a DVD extra and... Uh-huh. It's literally him making quinoa for 20 minutes, and it's in black and white. It's dramatic. It's got that jazzy Twin Peaks type of music going on. And then he goes out and sits on the porch while he's waiting for his quinoa to cook and tells a story in the most Lynching way ever and gets all, like hypo, like, aware and finite details and, like, talks about moths fluttering in light. And he's, like, squinting and, like, smoking his cigarette and being all crazy.
I was going to ask if he was smoking a cigarette.
Oh, yeah. He went out on the porch to smoke a cig. Yeah. Pour one out.
Yeah, right?
Don't smoke cigarettes, guys. He couldn't walk across a room at the end of his life.
Oh, man.
Anyways,
I quit those. I don't smoke those anymore.
Pour one out.
Yippee.
It's a great short. I love that short. And because it's on Inland Empire, I like it even more. But I would venture to say that Twin Peaks is probably like my genuine favorite thing of his because I rewatch that like almost twice a year and it's a comfort thing for
That's
me.
That's amazing.
And God, Twin
it's
Peaks
been a minute.
Is so
I need to rewatch
good.
Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks literally
watch
changed
it when I was
everything.
Like 13 or 14.
Yeah. It's, wait, you haven't seen Twin Peaks since you were 14?
Yeah.
That
which means is to say that I haven't seen it in like 15 years.
So problem, huge problem.
Yeah, okay, you need
like literally go home and watch the first episode.
All right, bet.
Because it is like I can't believe it because you would love it. Like,
oh, I did.
Well,
it was
you
just
did,
such a long
now,
time ago. I was a child.
Like you know when you hit something
I have
up
all
again.
This context.
Oh yeah, it's like the best piece of media I think that's ever like the way that Twin Peaks changed everything.
Uh-huh.
And I mean that so literally, like video games that you and I like a lot wouldn't exist without Twin Peaks. Like it influenced so many video games specifically, which is like, I think makes sense when you consider like how like absurd it is and there's all these like
it's sort of interactive in an interesting way.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
Or like people interacted
and
with
lots
it.
Of, like a quirky town and cast of characters. Like it's a good set and setting for like that, I think, a interactive medium, like you said. But then also it influenced like the golden age of TV. Like Breaking Bad wouldn't exist with Twin Peaks. Like like any TV show that like we think about now in the golden age of television is because Twin Peaks existed.
Uh-huh.
Because before that we weren't really doing like it was mostly
like
episodic.
Serialized.
Yeah, serialized wasn't a thing. It was episodic. And like things weren't like surreal and absurdist in the way that David Lynch is like experimental in that show and like ambiguous and stuff. There's not like it's not like that end of every episode you're like discovering a mystery like in an episodic way, but then also like the show makes no sense. It's giving neurodivergence in every facet of the word. Like the characters are quirky and weird. They say things that don't make sense. It's campy and silly but also sincere and serious. It's soapy but it's also not soapy. Like it's so transgressive. It's so good.
I'd say the number one influence that Lynch had on me when I was a teenager and then like into the rest of my art making life is the combination of surrealness and sincerity.
Exactly.
So I feel like it's easy to get lost in the surrealism sauce.
Yeah.
And forget the beating heart. And Lynch
totally
always
rides that line.
He rides that line.
I think famously a lot of people thought that he like overindulged himself in
it's
his
true.
Later works.
Especially,
like don't get me started on Roger Ebert, but that man didn't like
famously
didn't like a lot
wrote some
of, things
of the some
love.
Of the greatest wrong bad review of Blue Velvet ever.
I can't believe not liking Blue Velvet. Like I understand that people have qualms with things like Inland Empire because like
because it's bizarre and it's kind
and
of
not
uncomfortable
everyone
to
wants
at.
To sit down and watch a fever dream. Not everyone wants to get into the dream state of David Lynch, but I just can't believe that someone wouldn't like Blue Velvet because it's like a noir movie and that's like right up Roger Ebert's friggin' alley because he's pretentious and a film bro. So like he should like a neo-noir, but he said nah.
It's funny to think of Roger Ebert as a film bro.
I know, but he is a film
did,
bro.
He did inspire that.
When you think about film bros, just think about how they're gonna grow into a Roger Ebert. Their little Montreal folded
they'd be,
up
they
packs.
Would be lucky to be Roger Ebert.
I mean, like, yeah, if they have the success and money, but like spiritually, they will be an old pretentious, grumpy Roger Ebert.
Yeah.
Who starts a little dynasty out of bad opinions, in my opinion.
Yeah. That's funny, yeah. He has just had so many opinions, eh?
Yeah. Some of them, I agree with, but most of them I find, like, insufferable.
Yeah. I've never enjoyed his... Right, sorry, Roger Ebert. Dead man. Deceased guy. Died, like, 10 years
I'm
ago.
I'm not pouring one out to Roger Ebert, only to David Lynch. Yeah.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily compelled to pour one out for Roger Ebert either.
Good riddance.
Yeah.
Godspeed, Soljay.
I'd say the most important influence that Roger Ebert has had on me is that I've seen lots of very funny clips of his TV show.
I think it's so funny that someone decided that a critic should stare down the barrel of a lens tell the world what they think. David Lynch is great. I am going to miss him every day. Yeah, his YouTube channel, though, dude.
Blessed.
Like, I actually, throughout the pandemic, extremely like, watching good. Him, like, I know the Weather Channel is what everyone talks about, but, like, there are certain things, like, clip, like, he did the weather every morning. He did the number of the day. He also did this, like, series that was more short-lived, but was one of my favorite. It was, like, him, what I'm getting up to today or what I'm fixing. Like, actually, those are two different things, but I think they were, like, pretty aligned. Like, he had one series where he would just show himself, like, fixing something in his workshop.
That sounds incredible. I need to see that.
Or building something. Like, he builds, like, a little wooden phone stand for his iPhone because he didn't like the plastic ones. Or, like, he fixes his pants by, like, showing
oh my
how
God,
he
that's awesome.
He takes glue on, like, the holes on his knees and, like, puts the fabric together and then covers it in paint and goes like a step-by-step process of how he does that because he doesn't sew. Mm-hmm. So he literally glues his pants together and paints it to color match it so you can't see the glue.
I love that a lot.
I think about his YouTube channel all the time and things like him talking about how he likes Lana Del Rey.
Yeah,
or he's thinking about like...
Of course he does.
Of course he does. Yeah, that's so his style of music.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, I love him a lot.
And, like, I feel like her, like, lyrics and themes line up.
Yeah. No, totally. It's Americana, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. He definitely has a way of looking at that American underbelly, as they
say. And one of our coolest looking folks
Dude,
ever lived.
Hairline? Legendary.
Just amazing.
He absorbed the hairlines of so many corrupt, evil directors because he was such a kind and individual, uh-huh. and all of his actors loved him. So he absorbed all the hairlines of all the evil men in Hollywood. Uh-huh.
One day I hope to have hair as cool as his.
Yeah.
I feel like my hair will turn white like that one day.
I know. I always think about if I'm going to be a white or a gray situation, but TBD.
TBD, yeah.
Yeah.
TBA.
Only time will tell, as they say.
Yeah. OTWT.
Exactly.
Everyone's always using that acronym.
Acronym everything.
OTWT.
Yeah.
All shall be revealed in the fullness of time, as totally. They say.
I can't believe you haven't watched Twin Peaks since you're 14.
Yeah, I was just a boy.
Dear listeners, you also have to, if you haven't watched it, like, it's time to do it.
I bet.
Especially the first season. Like, I think it's okay if anybody watches the show and gets to the return season, the uh-huh. famous return season, and isn't sure about it. But if
I've heard people say that the return is like the best thing ever.
See, that's because the people that you
that I follow
that you frequent
are
around
dorks, yeah.
would endorse such things. But like, I know many people watch the return and weren't fully into the full surrealism uh-huh. of it, or
I've specifically heard that episode 8 is like a stone cold masterpiece.
I think.
It makes me want to get back into the
I would
Twin
venture
Peaks
to
world.
Say that it is the first and only true avant-garde TV season that I've ever watched.
Intriguing.
I think it is like the most perfect representation of what avant-garde television can and should be. And that's the best thing about it. A lot of people don't like it because it doesn't totally fully match the first two seasons that came out like uh-huh. decades prior. But at that time that season 1 and 2 came out, those were groundbreaking. That changed the game, as we established that uh-huh. influenced so many TV shows and books and video games today. Like, literally, we're like, Twin Peaks was the formula. Before Twin Peaks, I wasn't inspired to make things. And then Twin Peaks happened, and so many little nuggets of like the lore, the characters, the town, the
uh-huh.
the storylines influenced so many things. And that was groundbreaking at the time. But wouldn't be in 2017. So David Lynch went, rubbed his little hands together,
his
and he
little
said,
hands.
"He said it's not going to be the same as the '90s Twin Peaks, but it's also still going to be groundbreaking television." And he did it again. He just made it more surrealist and like absurdist. And
oh, man, I'm excited to see this.
Yeah, it's so good. And it's so good. Twin Peaks needs to be. Twin Peaks is one of those things that I think is like rightfully like put on a pedestal. I think it's worth the hype, if you will.
This episode is going to be called Peeking at Twins with Summer again. Or reanalyzing intertextuality.
Being intertextual about intertextuality. Uh-huh.
Intertextual meta-textuality.
The meta-narrative.
Meta-narrative of analyzing intertextual.
Just buzzword after buzzword. I need a verb, guys. No. yeah, that's
so. Where do the housewives come
okay,
into
so,
this?
So that's such a good question. Okay, in university, I studied film, and I had a TA whose specialization was reality TV, and I unfortunately in my youth and adolescence was kind of like pick me about reality TV. I never also was poor, so I didn't have like a lot of reality TV like cable stations. So I never really grew up watching reality TV. Wasn't a fan. Maybe saw the odd episode of like what's the Wife Swap?
Wife Swap. I've only heard of that because there's a Simpsons episode that parodies it.
Yeah, of course they do.
David Lynch
is also in a Simpsons episode.
Excellent. And famously in a lot of like Family Guy episodes. Yeah. Or not Family Guy, the Cleveland Show.
Oh.
He's like a recurring character.
See, I wouldn't have known that. That's a good lore drop for me.
There you go. The circles I run in.
Exactly. I forgot that there's spinoff shows for
Family Guy? Yeah, I've never seen them.
Neither have I.
I've never watched a full episode of Family Guy.
Neither have I.
But Lord knows I've watched a full episode of The Simpsons.
I was going to say, likewise, I've watched many.
Anywho.
Yeah.
So there you are. In university.
So there I am. Sort of a pick me. And my TA is studying reality TV. And I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but also and porn.
Nice. Oh, yeah, you can say that.
Work. Hey, guys. I just said porn on radio.
Yeah, it's not a swear word. And we're talking about intellectual.
I just forget what things are considered sayable and
yeah
sayable.
Right.
Anyways,
hey, if we get a note, then I'll just take that on the chin.
Okay, love that for us.
Yeah,
I'll jump say, in all right, that
yeah, stand behind me, Summer.
Which are like, when you consider it, these two mediums are like some things that like people consider trashy that they don't analyze in academic settings often, and like uh-huh. I think there's a recent wave of like people trying to bring more of an anthropological and cultural lens to things like that, but also like a media analysis lens.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, that kind of opened my eyes up to be less of a pick me about reality TV.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, recently I just started getting like on algorithms and such like clips of housewives drama, and mm-hmm. I would see it and I would be like, wait, this looks really interesting. I would see like a uh-huh. clip of like a middle-aged, rich, affluent woman in a prolific American city yelling at another rich, affluent uh-huh. woman in an American city, and I would go, kind of want to know more actually about what they're intriguing. Yelling about. And I hated to admit it. And then I was like, you know what? I'm finally gonna bite the bullet. I've always seen people talk about this cultural force that is the Real Housewives of insert any American city here. And
of Corpus
and now,
Christi.
And now international, there's like Dubai and stuff, which I only just found out about. So anyways, I started with the Real Housewives of New York City because it started during 2008.
All right.
And to be
famous, great year for New
famous,
York.
Famously an amazing year in New York. And it's all of these like rich white housewives.
Yeah, who would have been.
Have literally like, and when I say rich, I mean like the ex-wife of like J.P. Morgan.
Whew.
I mean like the ex-wife of a count in a European place. So Countess Louis-Anne de Sept, everybody. So like these are like
they're not,
the trophy.
They're not rich. They're like really.
Yeah, like they married the bank, if you will. Like uh-huh. So picture these women in 2008 Wall Street settings in like the richest part of them. Like these people definitely brush shoulders with not only they do know Trump, first of all.
Oh, yeah.
But they also definitely brush shoulders with people like Jeffrey Epstein. Like we're talking about like upper echelon, uh-huh. deep seated stuff. But these are the low brow people of that society in New York, because like the real people who are like super rich and wouldn't agree to be
aren't
going to
be on a reality
so
TV
like they're
show,
a yeah. little bit trashy also, because they're like they're trying so hard to be something that they're not quite, but they're not poor, but they're not uh-huh. rich. Anyways, it's such a I started with that franchise, and because it started in 2008, I got sucked in immediately. I was like, wow, these women are like just out on the town trying to like, some of them are not as rich as others. They're fighting about things. They're trying to hold on to their like ex-husband's pasts because like they never had their own identities. Anyways, I just uh-huh. like realized all of a sudden as I'm watching this that not only is it super entertaining and I'm having a fun time turning off my brain to watch it, uh-huh. but when I turn my brain on and watch it, equally as fun, because I feel like a little anthropologist. I'm like watching people do conflict resolution and like how to deal with like certain social situations, but then also watching like the worst people you've ever met, like, and I mean this word like fully, like I know it's overused these days, but Karens in uh-huh. every sense of the word have like
people who just like expect that the world owes them everything.
Yes.
I mean, that's like the
who are just net neutral
really
kind
is.
Of horrible, and like that I normally wouldn't be able to witness in settings like this. And because it's like, so in reality, like when you think about reality TV, I feel like people mostly think about things like competition shows, like Survivor, American Idol, or like a chef cook-off kind uh-huh. of situation. Those are like so, it's like the Hunger Games, if you will. Like you take a bunch of people, put them in a crazy situation,
uh-huh.
and then chaos ensues. It's like more of a controlled environment, whereas this type of reality TV is like called it's like soap something, soap, like, oh, I wish I could think of the actual term. Anyways, soap, it's like
related. I wish to soap I could operas. But I'm not in this world.
Exactly.
Which like, I love. I love what being not. Told about stuff that I just have so no this, context
this
on.
Brand of reality TV in which you're like following people around and their supposed everyday lives, and it's like less of a controlled environment and more
like,
of
like
keeping unscripted.
Up with her Kardashians kind of thing.
Yeah exactly. So like
that's the only other show like that I can think of, because I'm just
no that is a yeah. great example. Anyways, so that creates an environment in which you're like following these women around supposedly as in their natural environment, but then also they're obviously aware that they're on TV still, so they are putting on a little bit of a guise that is honestly discernible, like to the viewer, like you're watching them and you go, wow, you're so narcissistic and so full of yourself that you set up this entire birthday party that cost $80,000 during 2008 financial crisis, and you didn't even have the cognitive awareness to understand why that's in poor taste, because you're in New York City downtown, people are losing their families, their jobs, people are literally dying, and you said it's my 63rd birthday, I'm gonna
take
a
couple people's yearly salary,
I'm gonna throw a party that's afternoon. Themed after like the Great Gatsby in like the Rockefeller Center and spend like upwards of $100,000 in 2008 on this 63rd birthday party with all these socialites. It's actually so insane and crazy, and I love it. So the New York one has a little special flair because the women are just like extra entertaining, and they're all like very, I think I've only watched the New York one and the Salt Lake one. This is like a new thing for me because I didn't grow up watching reality TV, but I've heard tell that like the Beverly Hills ones and like the Orange County ones are even crazier because none of them work. They all just like are in suburbs or like are like ex-actors, whereas the New York ones, they like consider themselves like working girl boss women. So it adds this whole other layer of
yeah,
like,
I've
annoyance.
Heard that Orange County one isn't that the original?
That is the original.
Oh wow, look at me knowing.
See, you do
something,
oh, you
about
this. So that is the original. It was based off of the show The Desperate Housewives, the scripted show. And then Bravo said, we should make a reality show based on this.
That's the title.
Yeah, and like the
desperate, they're real.
Yeah, the real housewives. And I believe funny. They started in Orange County because the original like writer of the show, that worked at before like Andy Cohen got more involved or whatever, I don't know. He would like sometimes be having like lunches in Orange County for business meetings and stuff, and would just see these like women extravagantly dressed in like thousands of dollars of clothing, like messing around with their tennis instructors and their pool boys and like their rich husbands were off in the city working and their kids were barely being raised because the women are just like blinged out and hanging out and like yelling at each other. And he would like go and be like, someone needs to film this like immediately, this is great entertainment. And he was correct, so it all spiraled from there.
And I need to check this out. This sounds
it's
amazing.
So amazing. Like I wish more
after
people,
Twin Peaks.
But I would venture to say, like, if you watch an episode of Twin Peaks and then you're like, oh, I need like a brain off moment, you can throw in some Housewives. The one I'm watching right now, which I know if our demographic here, dear listeners, is mostly women.
Shout out to you, mostly.
Hey, women,
between 20
women.
And 30, mostly women.
Yeah,
squad.
So the other thing about like
that's what the fans of the fashion show are called.
Exactly.
That's my collective noun for them.
I am one with them. I'm for the people by the people.
Yo, what up, 20 to 30, mostly women.
Hey, where my ladies at? One thing that's I like to think about since I've started watching this is that like on top of it being just like crazy, it's also like a tool, I think, for women to learn about social settings more too. Okay. Like I would venture to say that there were studies that came out that like the more reality TV you watch, the more smart you are.
Interesting.
But I think societally, just because of misogyny and such and the patriarchy, like we have a general net idea that like watching and indulging in reality TV shows like that, like dating shows or The Housewives or things like that, is like trivial and too girly.
Certainly.
And like has a certain cultural connotation that is like looked down upon. But then these studies came out that the more reality TV you watch, the smarter you are, and that the more you understand about social situations and
trouble.
The more intuition you have, and the more like there's all of these things that came out from these studies. But
can I tell you the one reality show I've ever watched a full
please,
season of?
Please.
This is the only time I've ever sat down and enjoyed an entire, and in fact by watching this one season, I watched the whole entire run of the show. Mm. The show only existed for one season.
I'm so excited.
It was made in 2005.
I venture to know. I know what this is.
Have I talked about this on the radio before?
I don't know, but I think I recently, because I've been on my reality TV kick, I got really into early 2000s, mid 2000s okay. reality TV.
Well, I'll just rip the Band-Aid off then. It's a show called The 70s House.
Okay, I haven't seen this. See, I'm yes. Now I need to know more immediately.
Okay, phew.
I thought you were talking about the famous one season show of Black and White produced by Ice Cube, in which...
That sounds crazy and great.
Don't watch it, but also don't if, okay. You are triggered by, racially insensitive white people, because it's uh-huh. literally the show is people, a black family and a white family, swap races.
What?
It's produced by Ice Cube, the rapper.
Yeah.
And
that's bananas.
They white chicks it, if you will. And then it's
crazy a movie. Watch it 2 weeks ago.
Exactly. But the they go in this is a cultural experiment without realizing that the show itself was actually the experiment, not the setting that they put those people uh-huh. in. I think a lot of people react to this content now.
They should make a show about that show.
They really should. It's actually insane. But anyway, sorry. The 70s.
The 70s House. The yeah. best show ever. Okay. A show that I enjoyed quite a lot.
Right.
Basically, and it is quite an intertextual show.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are sort of two layers of very funny stuff going on in this show.
Okay.
The pitch is that it is that show... there was a popular show at the time, I forgot what it's called, where they just took a bunch of young, beautiful people and put them in a house
mm-hmm.
and made them a beautiful mansion.
Right.
And made them compete for prizes, that whole thing.
Okay.
The standard competition. Like Big Brother, but there was another one where it doesn't have that intense Big Brother-ness right. to it. It's kind of just more about them being young and beautiful.
Okay, iconic, of
and,
course.
You know, that kind of that kind of thing. It was called Real World. That's what it was called.
Oh yeah, that's the first
yeah.
reality show, if you will, uh-huh. of the soap genre that we're talking
about.
That
exactly.
Yeah.
And so they trick a bunch of people into coming on to this show.
Right.
Saying that, that's the real world. But then the house isn't a modern house. It's a 70s
Whoa.
House.
See, at what point are we just doing, I guess some people get paid, but social experiments. At what point is this the Stanford prison experiment?
It is very
experiment?
Much a Stanford 70s yeah. experiment. That's the 70s prison. Right. The 70s house experiment.
Okay, I'm ready.
And so you have all these people on the show competing mm-hmm. In 70s-based competition. To see who can be the most 70s.
Wow.
And you get voted off if you're not 70s enough.
Wow, I need to watch this yesterday.
There are PAs all over the house that at any time can play the hustle. And then they all have to drop whatever they're doing and do the hustle.
Wow.
The very first episode has them, the way the episodes work is there's yeah. some challenge, right, for some benefit.
Okay.
And then at the end of the episode... whatever two contestants are the least 70s
yeah.
have to have a 70s competition.
Wow, this is so subjective in my
it's
mind.
It's so funny.
Are there judges?
Yes.
Okay, I need to watch.
And they bring in
this.
70s stars.
Wow.
And in the first episode, they play Operation.
Wow.
To see who is going to be kicked
are
off the show.
These
are young
people.
Young, beautiful people.
That have no point of reference to that
Correct.
Time period. Wow, I can't wait to watch this.
It is extremely... I'm pretty sure it's all on... Yes, it is on YouTube. The whole entire show is on YouTube.
Usually shows like that are all on YouTube, yeah. and that's the best kind.
And so that's layer one of why it's funny. It's just that it's an inherently yeah. hilarious idea. Like, right. big, big props whoever came right. up with it. Especially because it's so, who wants to watch a show about the 70s? Only fun and cool
hey,
people.
That 70s show, am I right?
That's true. That is true.
I mean, not that I...
I've never yeah. seen it.
Not my style, but...
but I love the 70s.
yeah,
and I love, weird... So that's layer number one. yeah. That's funny. But then layer number two is that they are clashing with the 70s as 2005 people.
Right.
So we're watching this in the future.
Right.
And they're like, oh, right. I don't want to be in the 70s. I want to use my Walkman, my CD player.
And you're like, that's not that many steps.
I want to go to my normal fashion of big baggy jeans.
Hey, and also 2005 was fashion-wise was literally just an interpretation.
Yeah,
of
very similar
did
to this.
Polly Pockets. Anybody
Brat Polly
Pockets. Dolls. That was
Brat dolls.
It was giving chunky big platform shoes.
Yeah, word. It was very 70s, space, like I remember
this. Space on the calf of a jean. Bright colors. Uh-huh. I like to think about, you know, that like the iPod commercials where it's just like the silhouettes dancing behind like an orange background.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's iconic.
At what point is it disco?
So that is also funny. Because you're seeing these people, they're like, sure. Oh my God, I miss my creature comforts of big chunky cell phone. Yeah.
See, and this is what I'm saying, reality TV is like ripe with so much potential because not only is it like
you'd be a little anthropologist.
You get to like all of a sudden you're in, like I said, New York 2008 financial crisis, really rich, affluent people, and you're in the room with them. Uh-huh. Even if it is a little bit contrived, even if they are putting something on for the camera, that is still telling you something.
Well, just the format of the show surfaces the meta thing of it. Like you see the camera.
And then
like it begs you to analyze it like that. Yeah. It's impossible
bell
to
hooks anyone.
Yeah, word.
Look back at that camera. Anyways, also that show sounds like it would be a great anthropological
Everyone watch The 70s Us. It's the best show ever.
I have to. I would be
grab some friends. The whole entire show is like 3 hours. You can watch it in an evening.
I would be remiss.
Very easy to make a drinking game out of it.
Oh, and the best ones are, yeah. The best ones are... Okay, well, speaking of drinking games, the Real Housewives also is really great because a lot of these women are dealing with like really like divorces, addictions, things like that. And I would be remiss if I didn't talk about the current franchise that I am indulging in. So I started with New York, watched it all.
Uh-huh.
I didn't actually watch fans, ladies of the show, demographic ladies of the show who are listening right now.
Uh-huh.
I did not. Shout outs to all the ladies listening.
I like this episode instead of dear listeners, just shout outs ladies.
Hey, women.
Hey, women.
Hey, non-men listeners. I didn't watch the two new episodes of the New York. There's this whole drama in which the pandemic kind of ruined New York Housewives, and then they just recently came back with a whole new cast of characters. I haven't indulged in that. I finished the original one, watched it all.
Uh-huh.
Then I started with the most recent addition to the franchises and cities, which is Salt Lake City, Utah.
Whoa!
Which we all know is Mormon Central.
That's where the Mormons live.
Oh my God. Oh. Wizard, you have to watch.
That's such an exciting new layer.
The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
All right.
They're all either Mormons or ex-Mormons or crazy religious. And I wish I could... Let's just say the FBI gets involved. Let's say that there is white-collar crime. Let's say that there are Redditors who end up on the show that hate these women. Let's just say that they said, let's hire a cult leader. They said, let's make Salt Lake City represented. Anyways, as I was saying, little anthropological studies, I'm learning so much about Mormonism through this show, and I can't look away.
Shout out to John Smith or whatever.
Oh, God, yeah. I don't know.
That's what I know about Mormonism.
All I know is that Salt Lake City is ripe with entertainment value, and you need to watch. That's like I'm only in season two, but so much has happened.
All right, I'll peep.
Yeah.
I'll throw that on.
It's wild. And to circle back, this is related to David Lynch because...
Yeah, true.
David Lynch changed TV.
He did.
And I don't actually... Okay, the
Twin
one thing
Peaks
I will say...
Twin Peaks walked to that Real Housewives.
No, unironically, yeah, because the absurdity of this show is notable. And, like, although it is a reality show, it is very Americana. Like, I will say that I think there's... I haven't watched the Dubai one. I've heard that it hasn't done as well as, like, the American cities. I think there's something about watching rich American people. The husbands are often in the show, too, which is... worth noting because they're horrible too.
Real house husbands.
Yeah, if not worse than the housewives because like they're often making the money. I think I need to give more lore about Salt Lake City because I just really need to sell this to you. Let's just say that
should have a party.
Okay, actually,
a housewives party.
I just need more people that I know to watch it because a lot of people that I know don't watch Housewives.
Shocker.
Which is like unfortunate because I think it's just because a lot of people write it off as being trivial. And like I said, I think that there's actually a lot to gain from watching this. And it's so entertaining.
Well, I'm sold. If nothing else, I promise I will watch the first episode.
Of the Salt Lake City one?
Yeah. That is my promise.
See, and then I'm like, maybe you should watch the New York one first. But that there's too many episodes. The Salt Lake one is crazy. The one thing,
the Salt Lake one like tickles me in a big way.
Well, because there's so many factors
like that, because that is so, because like I know about, like I know about the idea of a New York housewife. Right. But, like, I don't – I've never been – like, that's a whole new archetype of human being to me.
Yeah.
To think about, like, a Salt Lake City super rich housewife. Utah. Yeah,
and they do have Utah curls. Like, have you heard that meme about what a Utah – see,
no, okay. No, I don't know
non-men,
about Utah.
Non-men listeners in their cars right now. We all know what Utah curls are. Utah curls are when people curl their hair but then, like, leave the – like bottom part just like oh I just hit the mic, sorry listeners.
You just punched the listeners in the ear.
They leave the bottom part of their hair straight, so it's like curly and then just straight all of a sudden.
Wow,
that's like a Utah,
that sounds kind of cute.
See,
this maybe
it's giving Christian
that.
Girl autumn maybe is the best way to explain it.
I'm just visualizing this. I need to like look it up.
Yeah, Utah curls.
No, let's do it.
Big fashion statement.
Who's gonna stop us?
Nobody. This is our show.
This is our show. Yeah, I would never punch you in the face, dear listeners.
Gosh, I really just.
Here we go. We're doing some research live on air.
Another. So, I'm gonna go a bit more into while we're looking at Utah curls. I really want to talk about. Wow. See, they. Oh well, those aren't really
AI,
Utah curls.
Horrible.
I would say the bottom, the person with her elbow over her head is like a good representation of a Utah.
All right,
curl.
Listeners, we're looking at. Unfortunately, this doesn't do anything for
no,
the listeners.
I love,
as we just
I love when I'm listening to audio things and they describe the visual to me.
There's a reason why you love the path of choice, I suppose. Yeah, that is Utah curls.
Yeah, and see,
if you're driving your car, do not go on Google right now.
Do not, but
wait
Utah,
until you are home.
What we're looking at is just about 3/4 of the hair is curled and then the bottom half is straight, or the bottom quarter straight. It's a look, I guess.
I should do that.
Do
you know, I got a haircut.
Yeah, but I've already seen it though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Jazz Jam.
That's right.
Yeah, hey listeners, we went to Jazz Jam. Shout outs to
Outer Textual
show, Emmett.
Yeah, facts. That'll Emmett, you'll be on the show one day. Real life textual.
External textual.
I can not, just like I can forget things I've said on my radio show, I can also forget things that I have said in real life.
That's so true. Huge if true.
Yeah. That was that was a fun night, eh?
Yeah.
Jazz.
I
love jazz. I love euchre.
I love jazz. I love euchre. I love the 12 bar blues.
Yeah, you love the 12 bar blues. Hey, you shout that out like instantly.
Yeah. For me, it was Chicho's reaction of, wow, I'm actually impressed that you recognize that. And I went, what do you think I'm a...
What, you think I'm a
You
a
think
common,
I'm not a recognizer of the... Dun, 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 dun.
It's iconic. I used to play that on piano when I was like 10.
Exactly.
I was so proud of that.
Yeah.
But,
Okay.
And the next funky jam sandwich, that's going to be the Passion Show meetup. If you're listening
love
to
it,
this...
Love it.
Go on wizard.collective and shoot me a DM about your passion mode, and then come to the Funky Jam Sandwich.
It's the first or second Sunday of every month.
Second.
The second Sunday of every month at Brothers Brewing.
It's super fun. See future guest Emmett Leacock playing the drums and singing and just being the most talented guy in the world.
Yeah, yeah, and you can
most
get
talented,
up there.
Youngest man alive.
Exactly, and I've always said that.
And you can get up there and play your instrument, too.
Speaking of stages.
Yeah, what were you saying?
So someone that I've also been thinking a lot about recently in The Real Housewives of New York City is there's the Countess who I was talking about. Mm-hmm. Leigh-Anne de Seps is this ex-Countess who used to be married to a French Count.
Mm-hmm. You know who my favorite French Count is?
No, tell me.
Orlok. No, he's
I was
from...
say, that's a Romanian guy.
Yeah.
I've heard tell of him.
I just saw that movie last
You
night.
Did? What did you think of
I
Nosferatu?
Think that they gotta shave his mustache off. You don't got one of those.
See, yeah.
But it was, I rate it a strong 7 out of 10.
I got what they were trying to do. With
I had a fun time. If the movie was just the second half of the movie, it'd be a 9 out of 10.
Yeah. I got what they were trying to do with the rebrand with Nosferatu's appearance. Like, they were like, this is just a Romanian count, like, rich man who was vampirized or vampire. How do you say it?
Vampirized? I don't know.
Sure.
Re-listen to the Aveline episode. Dear listeners.
Yeah. And,
intertextuality.
But like, I want Nosferatu to look like a little pale,
a weird
SpongeBob
yeah.
insert joke.
Exactly.
But the moment that Willem Dafoe appeared on screen, the movie immediately went up 2 points.
For real, because it all of a sudden felt like I was watching Frankenstein also.
Exactly.
I was like, oh, okay, so now we've got...
And it had momentum.
An occult scientist. Uh-huh. Please, God, save
suddenly
me
the scenes were connected to one another.
Yeah, suddenly...
And I just loved his suddenly, character. I'm like, you're so right. You're cooking.
Yeah.
Everyone listen.
Have you seen the original Nosferatu?
No.
Oh, shoot.
That's a blind spot for me.
See, now... David, to bring it, circle back to David Lynch.
All right, a perfect way to bring in the final 3 minutes of this episode.
Yeah, things like the original Nosferatu is like super German expressionism vibes. Gives off really good. Have you ever seen David Lynch's Eraserhead or Elephant Man?
I've watched the first half of Eraserhead when I was like 12 and balked at it because I was 12.
Right, that's a but crazy thing to try and watch.
Yeah,
at that age,
exactly.
If it makes you feel any better, I was watching like The Perks of Being a Wallflower at age 12.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, so was I.
Anyway. But, Nosferatu, the original one, is like super textbook German expressionism. And I feel like that really comes through in things like Eraserhead with David Lynch and the Frankenstein of it all, the Dracula of
Frankenstein.
It all.
We love a good creature on the passage.
The absurdist, surrealist, dream, transcendental meditation state of it all.
He loves that. Lynch loves a good transcendental meditation. Frankly, I don't blame him.
How much time do we have?
2 minutes.
Okay.
Actually, in fact, here we are. Dear listeners, it's been Nosferatu.
It's been a yap sesh.
It's been Nosferatu. It's been Housewives. It's been Lynch. Yeah. Everything is connected.
Everything is connected.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you all follow my Instagram account so you can keep up to date on the Passion Show. Yes, I am plugging my socials now. As everyone has told me to.
Everyone go follow Boy Band.
Go follow Boy Band. Boy Band.
Boy Band.
We love Boy Band.
Boys are band. And I love you, David Lynch. Bring back stopping at yellow lights. that's Twin Peaks would always say. Bring back slowing down instead of speeding up at yellow light. Take in all the little things. Get yourself a treat every day. Give yourself a little present. That's what David Lynch would want.
And now the nice thing about having a returning guest is that I don't even need to how it ends, because I can just say I'm grateful for the sun in the sky and the birds that sing. I'm grateful for a frozen river. Yeah. I'm grateful for my amazing community of guests, new and repeat.
Real.
Grateful for radio waves. Grateful for true love.
Huge of true.
Grateful for just like comfy sweaters. What are you grateful for?
I am grateful for... autistic artists like David Lynch.
One of our great autistic artists.
I'm grateful for women, even when I support women's wrongs. I'm grateful for women talking and yelling at each other in a room at a dinner table. I'm grateful for women
just like throwing cake at each other's
I'm grateful for women communicating and understanding things and wanting to know more about social interactions.
That's beautiful.
I'm
even if they're yelling.
Even if they're yelling, and even if they're watching the yelling and taking in social information. And I'm, as I said, grateful for Twin Peaks, David Lynch, and I'm going to miss him.
Me too.
I think what everyone wants to know is, would David Lynch like Wicked?
And on that note, I've been Wizard.
And I've been Summer.
Only love will stop a killing.
And I've always said that.
Thank you for listening.